Our second reading today from the first letter of St. Peter reminds us that we should always be ready to give an explanation for the reason for the hope within us. We should, if called upon, be able to defend our faith, or at least to know that our faith is reasonable. Even if we might not have the particular answer, we can have confidence that there is an answer that makes sense and is reasonable. You know, I'm reminded of the time right after I had graduated from college. I was working in Kansas City, but I loved Lawrence, and so I bought a house in Lawrence. And after I was in the process of building that house, my best friend, Matt Chemnitz, said, "Hey, you need a roommate." Like, well, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, okay. He's my best friend now, but he wasn't at the time. We only kind of knew each other. Matt works at the St. Lawrence Center in Lawrence to this day. But we moved in together and tried to live the faith as best we could in that little community of the two of us. We were Sean and Matt, so you put that together and Sean and Matt's house became the Shad House. I didn't name it, but it kind of stuck. So the Shad House, though, was a special kind of place. I mean, you come into our house, and we got the picture of John Paul II on the wall, and the Virgin Mary, and Jesus, and it was a special kind of house. Well, one day, I'm reminded of the time that Matt and I were getting ready to go out to dinner, and Matt was upstairs in his room getting ready, and all of a sudden, I look out the window, and down the cul-de-sac, I can see coming two young men, black suits, white shirt, black tie, and I'm like, oh, I hope they come to our house. Matt was upstairs, and sure enough, they knock on the door, and I'm like, Matt, we got visitors. He's like, visitors? What on earth? And they're there, and sure enough, they got their little name tags on. It's Elder Larson and Elder Waits, and they look like they're about 19, but they were elders. And like, hello? Like, come on in. We'd love to have you. And Matt's coming down. He's like, oh, I can tell this is going to be interesting. And I'm sure that these young men, God bless them, they have great zeal. They go out and they want to spread the faith and talk about it. And I'm sure they mainly just get doors slammed in their face and say, go away, we don't want to talk. Well, that was not what they got there. We invited them in. Matt said it was like I was luring them into a trap. I was happy to invite them into the house, frankly. We got set down in the living room, and we got drinks, and I sat down in my recliner, and Matt pulled up a chair, and they're on the couch, and we were all ready to talk about the Lord. And so we kind of let them do their little spiel, and they gave us some scripture verses, and then I was like, well, you know, you quoted such and such verse, and he's like, oh, you know that verse. Yeah, but you failed to quote the next part that comes after this, and I quoted that, and then I grabbed my Bible, which is sitting right on the coffee table, remote control Bible, and then you could kind of see the look of terror come over their face. They're like, oh, you've got the book. Well, yeah, we got the book. Bible's over here. Catechism is over here. I'm like, let's dance. We're ready. And so I'm quoting some scripture to them, and they're quoting some scripture, and it was a great time, and you could kind of tell that they were getting a little nervous, because after we had explained a few things, they decided to go away from scripture for a bit, and they pulled out their picture book. Matt and I kind of looked at each other, we're going to a picture book? Things have really gotten desperate. But they wanted to show us pictures of their little prophet Moroni and Joseph Smith, and that was all great, and I thought things were going pretty well until Matt threatened to kill them. Well, I mean, he was trying to make a theological point that, you know, about morality. Well, what Matt's point was, well, what if I decide to kill you right now? Would that be okay? And I thought it was a little awkward considering we had them kind of trapped in our living room. But eventually we got to the end of our discussion. And like I said, I'm sure these young men are used to just getting thrown out. And they got more than they bargained for on that day at the Shad House. Like I said, the Shad House was a special place. And Matt tells this story to this day to the students at the university to get them to maybe be a little excited even to share the faith. But, you know, these are great young men that are doing this. To this day, when Matt and I drive through Lawrence and we see, you know, two people walking down the street in their black suits, we're like, could it be? Could it be them? I, you know, I've never met them again. In fact, I'm pretty sure that after they got done meeting with us, that our house was like put on like the Mormon blacklist. Do not go to this house. But it was a joy, really, to sit down with these young men who are really trying to love the Lord and share the faith. And, you know, maybe not all of us are called to see people coming down the street and get excited. You know, how do we feel? Most of the time, maybe you see Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses coming to your door and like, oh my gosh, quick kids, close the window shades, pretend we're not here. Everybody be really quiet. Shh, they want to talk about Jesus. We don't do that here. You know, would that we had some of that missionary kind of zeal amongst our Catholic faith, that maybe we don't need to go knock on doors, but maybe we do need to at least know who our neighbors are and not be afraid to share our faith a little bit. You know, St. Peter reminds us, be ready to give an explanation for the reason for the hope that is within us. We have to first realize that the faith is reasonable. It makes sense. We don't have to live our life in Catholic fear as if, yeah, I'm Catholic, but I don't want anybody to know it because I really don't know why and I really couldn't explain it if I had to. It's not how God wants us to live our faith. It's not that we have to be some great theologian to be Catholic. It's enough to know that our faith does make sense, to learn a little bit about it, to continue to learn, but we never have to be afraid that someday somebody's going to show up at our door who's going to have the secret that totally undermines our Catholic faith. I think sometimes that's how we live, that somewhere out there, somebody who's way smarter than me, some scientist, some other preacher, they know the secret that makes Catholicism look ridiculous. It's not there. There is no magic secret that somehow if we discovered it would make our faith look stupid. We will never be embarrassed to be Catholics. Our faith is entirely reasonable. It makes sense. And we should learn all that we can so that we can give a reasoned defense. Even if that defense might be, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, the church has been around 2,000 years, so probably somebody else has asked that question and I'll look it up and I'll get back to you. A couple weeks ago, John Mark Miravalli, the School of Faith, was debating an atheist at KU. And I thought John Mark opened up with a pretty logical explanation for the existence of God. He was right out of Thomas Aquinas. And I'm like, okay, everybody knows that one. The atheist will be ready for this. But literally, the atheist said to the proof of Aquinas, well, that's new. I thought, well, it's 15th century new. I mean, yeah, in the history of the church, I suppose that's new. But there are no real new questions. Every time someone thinks they've discovered something new, they find that, oh, the church kind of answered that in like the 4th century already. St. Augustine already gave me the answer to that way back then. Never be afraid that somehow our faith will be proven to look stupid. It's reasonable. But faith in God goes way beyond reason. It's not unreasonable, but it's beyond reason. Reason for our hope. Hope is not quite so tangible as reason. What do we hope for? How do we make sense of things? Hope, the church says, is the virtue that causes us to desire heaven. Hope reminds us that this world is not all there is. You know, this past week, Father Brian and I have been getting calls from people that are concerned about the great natural disasters that we've been seeing, the tornado that nearly wiped out Joplin, and of course we had the tsunami in Japan, and all these disasters, and people are rightfully asking, like, how do I make sense of this? Well, if this world is all there is, then a tornado that wipes out Joplin is completely illogical and unreasonable. It makes no sense. But if we have a hope, the desire for a life and a knowledge of a life beyond this world, then maybe we can make a little sense out of this. That every disaster, everything that causes us great struggle in this life, ultimately points us forward to say, you know, this life is not all there is. There's something beyond even the reason of this world. A hope in the midst of disaster and struggle and pain, a hope that reaches out beyond this world and points us toward the next. Jesus tells us plainly in the gospel, I will not leave you orphans. The truth is that the relationship we have with God is well beyond reason. If I were to ask you to give a logical explanation for why you love your spouse, why you love your children, why you love your family, I doubt many of us could give a reason, and we would think the question kind of preposterous to reason why we love. Our relationships, it's not that they're unreasonable, but they're beyond that. And that's what God assures us of today. He loves us. He will not leave us orphans. So yes, know how to defend the faith. It's logical. It's reasonable. It's built on great theology. Learn all about it. Summer's a great time for that. Get some books. There's simple books. Why do Catholics do that? That's the name of a book. You could get it. It has lots of great things. Why do Catholics genuflect? Another great book. Or even, believe it or not, a great book to read this summer, Catholicism for Dummies. It's a great book, actually. Get it. Learn about your faith. Be able to explain it. Do not be afraid, even if Mormons should come to your door. It could be a great time, really. But beyond that, more than just reason in our faith, I hope that we can really fall in love with the Father. The Father who, beyond reason, assures us that He loves us and He will not leave us orphans. This summer, let us learn a little bit about our faith, but let us especially fall in love with God. The Father who loves us, that is our hope. The reason for our hope is that we know that we have a Father in heaven who loves us. Let us hold fast to this great hope.